Hi, everybody. This is Dinus from ourglowjawans.com, and I am going behind the scenes of BBS Radio. If some of you aren't familiar with BBS Radio, there's bbsradio.com, and I am going to also explain again what Our Glow Jawans means. Our Glow Jawans stands for Robust Green Lifestyle of Harmonious Joy, Abundance, Health, Wealth, Wisdom, and Nurturing Sustainability. And I've got somebody on the line. His name is Don Newsom, and he is really on track with that kind of lifestyle. He has started bbsradio.com, and I am absolutely thrilled to be talking with him, and I'm going to read just a section from his website about why BBS Radio was created and what its mission is, and then we'll get to talk to him. In the mission, it says, BBS Radio was created to promote a smorgasbord variety of shows to lift up the human spirit to a higher vibration. Everyone with a passion should be allowed to spread their message from the heart without being controlled by mainstream media and corporate greed. It's our greatest desire, that's the desire of Donald Newsom and his brother, Douglas Newsom, and everybody involved with BBS Radio, to be of service to others, united as one in helping bring about peace, harmony, and joy to the planet. We pray to keep our intent pure and our actions geared toward the highest good for all concerned. We hope this energy will build a quality within the matrix that can transform and raise the vibration of the planet and bring about positive change. The more people that join in this higher purpose, the greater the flows of positive energy that transforms us all. Don, it's a little bit of a switch for you to be the subject of an interview, isn't it?
You know, I must say that I actually have done a few interviews. And,
I see.
not many, a few. And I enjoy them. I always have. I love speaking with people. I got in this business because it's... engaging people is, to me, life. And when I'm interviewed or interviewing somebody or doing radio, it's now a part of me. I absolutely love being here. Thank you.
Well, it's fantastic to have you. I'm curious if you could just tell, it's interesting also because we're broadcasting right now on bbsradio.com live, isn't that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so... you know, if anybody's listening and is kind of confused, hey, whoop, the station didn't switch. Maybe I didn't introduce that as clearly as I could have. But you've got one of the co-founders, or are you the founder or co-founder?
Well, actually, I found a blogging service 3 years ago. And it was March of 2005, excuse me. And a blog in service was supposed to be a blog in service to others. And it developed quite a following. I mean, we had almost 10 million hits a month. It was actually more traffic than we're getting now.
Uh-huh.
And then one thing led to another. We decided to do a radio show, and a few people joined the bandwagon, and it did so well, and people found... favor in it, I guess, because the response was overwhelming, so we decided to add more and more shows, and it was really never intended. It just happened out of joy. So, actually about, 2 years ago, not quite, as we were gearing up into radio, we finally decided to switch the name, and about a year ago, we switched it to BBS Radio, which is Blog-In Broadcasting Service, or Blog-In Service with broadcasting in the middle. So it was a little play on words, and here we are today.
I see. Now I'm very curious, just kind of about your story and who you are. I mean, where were you born?
I was born in North Vancouver. I'm Canadian.
Uh huh.
And we were born there back in '68. We moved over to the United States in 1977 when I was still a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to school in Washington State. And when we graduated there and then went to university, we later traveled quite a bit. We've spent our lives throughout the States, Canada. I've lived in Austria. And it was purely because our folks wanted us to be exposed to different cultures throughout the world, and we loved it. We had a great time when we were younger. We did a lot of traveling and meeting people, and we've always been in business. Since we were 17, my brother and I went into business for ourselves, well, with our father at least initially, and we've carried on ever since.
Well, so basically, have you ever been employed then?
I was in 11th grade. I actually worked at a McDonald's. My folks thought it would be wise if Doug and I learned that side of the world, I guess, working in a fast food chain that probably wasn't very appealing, and it wasn't. So we did that for the summer, and I think we did a Canorum job. We worked at a cannery, and that was about the only two jobs that we ever did where we worked for others.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's a lifestyle, you know?
It is. When you start working for yourself and it becomes comfortable, you really can't go back because everything you put in, you can get out. And with working for other people, I didn't find that. I felt that you could work at McDonald's for the rest of your life and, you know, still be there. That the chance for moving up and creating your dreams is less, I think, in an environment where you work for others, unless, of course, you're lucky or you have good employees and they have good programs. But I just, you know, we come from a family of entrepreneurs. My mother worked for herself, my father, most of my family, in fact, all of them that I know work for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a lifestyle, but it's one we were familiar with as we were growing up, so it came fairly naturally.
Yeah, I mean, there's a sector of the population. I mean, for example, my parents are they're both professors, so they're teachers. They are very, very conservative when it comes to the paycheck and the regularity of the paycheck and the security of the medical insurance.
Right.
How was that perceived, and how did you guys do? Because I'm sure there are a lot of listeners, you know, they're working 60-hour weeks, which is, you know, fairly common. They love to transition into a more entrepreneurial lifestyle. They're putting up websites, you know, they're doing their best, but they have 4 hours a week, maybe they got some time on the weekend.
It's never really the time, to be honest with you. It's always about, again, like you're saying, the security. If people wanted to be in business, then they'd have to get over the fear of failure or whatever fears they're really harboring, because it's a step out. It's doing something that's unknown. It's taking a chance with their own life and believing in themselves and that they can do it. And when they get to that point, I mean, they have to test the waters. You have to step out and do it. Otherwise, it really takes stepping out, taking a chance. Life is all about change. You always hear about people in their later years that have done three types of jobs, or they're maybe retired once from the government, once from the military, or then they're in the private sector. You'll find that even your federal employees do a lot of that. The midlife crisis, changing jobs. It's kind of like that. If you want to, people are very, they enjoy their comfort levels.
Right.
And those comfort levels build a matrix around them that they find, well, not only comfortable, and even if it's not comfortable, they're familiar with it. And they don't want to step out of the box. And that's what I find with most people before they enter that new arena, is that they have to get over those fears and the fears that they can't do it. They really have to put a lot of faith in themselves, put a lot of faith in everything. It's allowing that faith and allowing themselves to become what they desire without harboring any of those fears, really. Now, I know that's a lot of talk, because most people out there probably wouldn't find that a very good answer, and that, you know, it wouldn't overcome their fears. I really don't know how to explain it. Again, I was really accustomed to it growing up, so it was quite easy for us.
Right. So, I mean, you're not going to be somebody to ask, hey, you know, how do you overcome your fears in becoming an entrepreneur? That actually might be something to ask me, you know. But I've actually always had the entrepreneurial spirit, and I've been actually quite miserable as an employee. at particular jobs, but you know what comes up as an example is I paid my way through grad school as the webmaster of a not-for-profit organization, and the head of that organization, she was just a fantastic boss. It was great to work there. I worked there 20 hours a week. I basically made a decent middle of the road full time salary, because at that time you could do pretty well in IT as a webmaster. And I really liked having people to go to, people to talk to, and that was a wonderful, wonderful structure. And you know what I also wanted to say, I thrived when I was doing that in Indianapolis. I mean, it was fantastic. But then you get the wrong kind of employment and the wrong kind of employer, and I hear more and more of my friends talking about those kinds of employment arrangements where people are making fun of them for wanting to spend time with their baby daughter and this kind of, you know, oh, family man, this kind of stuff. But I did want to mention something from my experience, which is Charles Ives is a fairly famous American composer. And he worked in insurance for many, 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 many years.
Sure.
And he composed fantastic works. He didn't have to base his survival on, he didn't have to survive off of music. So he wrote very progressive things that people are coming to now going, wow, you know, he was doing this then. But he was able to do that because he did have a comfort level. So, you know, advocating that people step out of their comfort zone, I think that, I don't remember, his name is Bob Parsons over at GoDaddy.com. Do you know who this guy is?
Well, of course, I know Bob Parsons. Well, yeah. I don't know him personally, but I know of him and what he does, yeah.
Yeah, I read a few of the things that he wrote or said, I'm not sure, and he said, you know, get out of your comfort zone. I'm like, why? And I understand that you're saying go into entrepreneurship, but you know, maybe it's possible to test the waters, to make a smooth transition. I'm not too sure if you need to just go for the jolt.
You know, well, again, it's always about how you perceive it. It always comes down to attitudes and perceptions. Your perceptions will be driven by your attitude. And depending on how you feel about it and what your attitude is will pretty much determine the course of how things work out for you. I truly am a big believer in that. So if you go out and you want, let's say you have a steady job and you're comfortable and you're in the matrix, you built your matrix, and you enjoy it. Well, it might be nice to pick up a good hobby, like you're saying. You might want to do writing music. You might want to play some sports or do some collecting of stamps, coins. You might want to branch out in a little bit and become a political advocate. You notice the flavor I have here.
Yeah.
But, just sticking to one job and just staying in there and with no chance of advancement, unless, of course, people are advancing in their jobs, that's one thing. But to just sit and do a 9-to-5 job, to me, that is not a matrix so much that was built by the person there, but more of how they want this. It's easy to control people. It's easy to control people when they have their own comfort levels, their own 9-to-5 jobs. They call home. They watch the TV. They can be conditioned. It's much easier to condition people when they're comfortable. You see what I mean?
I know what you mean. Now, you've used the word matrix a few times.
Right.
And I wanted to follow up on that because, you know, I've just gotten a Matrix the movie. I can imagine that a matrix is some kind of a grid. But can you explain a little more what you mean by that? I mean, is that just kind of the way you live, or is that, what is it really?
The matrix to me is, since, and I believe we all create our own possibilities and our own world around us. And that which is closest to us is that which we take with the most responsibility, such as our family, our lives. And then we lead by example. We start to set the example, and that branches out. That energy moves out and continues to move out and affect more in lives in a stronger way. Again, everything we do is going to affect the universe eventually, all of it. Mm-hmm. So if we go out into that with a more positive attitude, we affect more and more people, and we always magnetize what we want. It'll come to us eventually. We are that, to me, we are that powerful. We're human gods. We've been gods from the start, and we're gods now. We can all pretty much, I mean, this is just a short jaunt here. We can all pretty much achieve what we want to achieve, maybe not in this lifetime or the next, but sooner or later, we'll get there. We're all going to the same place.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are a lot of assumptions built in there, and not a lot of people go with that. Not a lot of people say, well, you know, there's an afterlife, or not a lot of people say we're going to the same place.
Sure.
Some people say, hey, some people thrive off of thinking, you know what, this is the only chance I've got, and I'm going to live it.
That's right. And when you look at that, even science doesn't even harbor that fact anymore. You know, those people who actually believe that energy doesn't continue on and that intelligence doesn't continue on infinitely, they really aren't keeping up with science.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not listening there.
We know that the universe is intelligent. We know that it's intelligent design. There's way too many variables for it not to be. It seems to move harmoniously, and even Nobel Peace Prize winners who've talked about the science and the physics behind it and how we perceive our world is what is really what we're looking at is more what we're creating in that instance. I could go into that farther, but suffice it to say that really science has proved that everything is variable and that we're creating it as we're looking at it.
Well, I'm going to go further in this. Yeah, I'm going to because I'm sure that we can't do this now. I'm very careful when a lay group of people create an understanding and attach themselves to maybe some kind of almost a messianic sounding message.
True enough.
And so I'm gonna get on that a little more closely. And I think though, I mean, have you had people on BBS Radio that are experts in that area?
Absolutely.
What kind of folks have you talked or have been on?
Has been many physicists, mathematicians, scientists on our network that have gone into great deal. I wouldn't remember exactly which ones, but many of them have gone in at great length to explain how that works and what that means and how your matrix really is affected by everything you do, and it's all about your perceptions.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's interesting though is that I'm going to go ahead and confess something here. I'm starting to be a little bit of a geek regarding logical fallacies, and I know that sounds strange, but basically, just because an object changes based on the perceiver, just because I'm looking at, because of the observer, just because the object changes, doesn't mean that I make the object. It doesn't necessarily mean that I am and it doesn't mean that I create. It may mean that I create my own reality, but it doesn't mean that there aren't choices that reality could be. So what I'm saying is that if I look at something and I perceive it a particular way, it's possible that there's a limited number of ways that I can perceive it.
Well, let's look at it. There's an infinite number of ways. Let's look at that for a second. I see myself one way. You see me in another way. Somebody else sees me in another way. We're all seeing. Everybody's seeing me differently than I see myself. That just explains the whole thing right there. That's the same with every object. Everybody's looking at it from a different angle. Nobody could look at something identically. As far as creating an object, well, we're not talking about objects. We're talking about energy.
Okay.
And energy is influenced just by being around it. You can go into a room and heat it up just by your body heat. Everything you do changes everything around you.
Mm-hmm.
And the perceptions are similar. When you're looking at something and focused on something, that creates like your neurotransmitters, literally in your brain, it creates electrical impulse, which changes the spin rate of the electron, which goes out and affects the next electron, and so on. So really, eventually you are, just by virtue of your thought, your action, your word, you're changing everything. So, and there's no two people. That's why we're all unique. That's why we need to celebrate our uniqueness.
Well, I don't want to get to the point where we're beating a dead horse here. It's just that, you know, I can't change my closet into a rock. At least I'd like to. I'd love to try. And I want to see people who can do it. I mean, if we can create our own realities, it's very interesting what has crept into my reality.
But we've agreed to play this together. We've agreed to be here together, and therefore
I have no conscious understanding of that.
Okay.
I have no conscious understanding that we've agreed to play in this game together, and that there's an Earth, and that there are wars, and that there are missiles, and that there are really, really awful people.
No, you have agreed. You have agreed. I'll explain. You agreed to phone me up today.
Yes, I did.
All right. You didn't have to.
That's true.
So everything from now on will be based on what you agreed to do in that instant. Because it changed everything.
In our conversation.
Even in our conversation. Right here, right now, what you and I, we're on a level. We're on various levels right now. But we've agreed to continue talking. You've agreed right now to be listening to me while I'm saying my words.
Yes.
So in every instance, you've agreed. On some level, you've agreed to share.
Have you agreed to my wooden closet?
Well, see, we're not talking about that. We're talking about right here, right now.
Okay.
Okay. And because we've agreed to be here right now, we really agree to be wherever we are in every instance. We agree to be there because in every instance, we're taking the action. Or we're taking or saying the word or making the thought in every instance. So it is a collaborative effort throughout the world and throughout humanity. So therefore, a lot of what we perceive is going to be built by all of us together. Indeed, that can be limiting. In one respect, yes, because you're still working with others, and since we've all agreed to be here, we have an understanding together, which creates many of the energy flows throughout the world, and how we have to, and the laws that apply to it, and what we feel is real and what isn't, what's possible, what isn't, and if you convince yourself that something's impossible or like a lot of people say, you know, nothing's impossible. It might be improbable,
right?
But eventually, nothing's impossible. I adhere to that.
Okay. Well, there's more thinking to do, and I like taking thoughts and then taking them all the way to the final logical conclusion that can be made. And one of the things that kind of bugs me, and we talked about this before, is if I create my own reality, then there is nothing but me. And I am not sure how accurate that is.
Now, that's interesting. That's not true.
Why?
Because how could that be true? Because your reality right now, you're creating your reality around you, and it's affecting everything else. But again, it's not exactly what you want, is it?
My reality?
Right.
I mean, I'm
and is
I'm
it exactly,
good at that.
Can
I'm
you
like
do
80,
anything you want in your...
90, I'm in high 90%, I think.
Well, what I'm going to get at is if you know, you're still bound by what others do. If someone comes and decides to punch you,
yeah,
kiss you, you know, you're going to be affected by that, and you'll have a choice to make, which will then become a part of exactly what you're doing, so, or exactly what you're going to do, because in that instance you agree to change or do something different or perceive something different, and that's based on other people. That's why when many of the philosophers say everybody's your savior, we're each other's savior, that's really what they're trying to explain, the fact that we are one, not I am one.
Right.
We are one.
Yes, and the thing is that it's interesting because where I think concentration or meditation or prayer, for me at least, is necessary is, all right, so I am then acted upon. And if I create my reality, then essentially I'm inviting every way that I'm acted upon. Or people can come and just act on me. I can just get punched by somebody on the street.
Exactly.
Now, that other person can choose to do that. And my question is, am I responsible for that?
Ah, very good question. That's a tough one to answer. Are you responsible for other people's actions? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Am I responsible for the fact that somebody came up and punched me?
You know, funny enough, are you there at that moment? Did you agree somehow throughout your life to be in that moment at that time?
I mean, yeah, I decided to walk down the street.
And so did this other person, didn't they?
Yeah, but we didn't, I mean, we did not speak on the phone about it.
Right, but on a higher level, and that's the weird part, on a higher level, if you just get through the mental part of this, you both are there out of your own choices.
What about what this person did?
Well, he made a choice, and now you have a choice to respond or not respond or whatever it is you're going to do.
You just squarely place the responsibility on the other.
Actually, the response, we cannot, again, now this is a tough one, like I said, this really is, because are we responsible for other people's actions? No. We're not responsible for what other people do. But, if we agree to come down, like if someone decides to go out there and kill his wife, mm-hmm. are we responsible for that? No. We're not. Are we responsible for the situation that may have put him there? Well, we are, aren't we? We're responsible for the way in which things work because we feed the matrix with our energy as well as everybody else. So the circumstances that we're in, we have helped co-create.
And I think that I think that that's very, very, very relevant with media control, with the things that you talk about, with your tagline, if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS radio.
Right.
You know, why would you choose that? Why did you separate yourself from mainstream media? You know, who hit you and why? And how are you basically taking responsibility? You're essentially, one could say, that you're taking responsibility for what mainstream media is neglecting.
Well, I'm taking responsibility, pardon me, for the situations we've created to bring us all here. I believe that, I'm more responsible for that which is around me. That's how I believe it. And when I look at the world, if it upsets me and I want to see change, then I take on that responsibility through agreement. And with mainstream media, I think that the people are really the media. The people are the media. The internet is proving that every day. It's questers and seekers seeking answers and wanting to interact with each other instantly on a global level. That's its own energy. But as we're all hooked into that energy, that really is media. People are the media. They're the questers and they're the seekers, and they also answer their own questions. Normally those answers are the questions, metaphysically speaking. But if we go out there and we decide to change things like media, big corporate media, me, the reason I would decide to change that is because I feel that not only are the people media, but eventually it's all going back to the people anyways. So I think that BBS radio is one avenue to bring back the power to the people. Empower them. Let them know that they really are the media. Not some jumping monkey on your TV screen who's scripted. Not some federal government that's constantly giving you canned material and trying to manipulate you. Not somebody that's trying to control the information flow. You see, the internet's a lot like It's a new technology, and a lot of the corporate greed and people who control the media and the bankers behind them, really, you know, they've absconded with much technology. We know that. We know that they've tried to suppress technologies. And funny enough, that same technology is going to come back to bite them, because we as media, the people, bringing it to the internet, make it, well, we put it on the internet, and it's there for how long? For quite some time. See, it can spread out. The truth can continually spread and spread and spread, and it doesn't go away. It comes back to bite them on the butt, bite them on the butt, bite them on the butt. And when the truth is omitted, somebody will find it, they'll bring it out, and it'll be global. Now, it's pretty tough for this corporate greed and these bankers to overcome that. And so I feel that if we all create a great push in bringing media back to the people, and like we're trying to do, then it's going to be in safe hands.
Mm-hmm.
So really, that's what it's about. It's showing people that not only are they the power, because really they are. I'm not telling anybody what they don't or shouldn't already know, because in the end, the people are the power. These guys are scared of us. They manipulate you, because not only are they scared of you, they're scared of the truth. And this new technology is going to put the truth in many, many hands. It's never going to go away. So technology in the end that these corporate monsters tried to hide and abscond with is really going to be their own undoing, which is quite ironic, don't you think?
Well, it is if it plays out that way. And in a sense, what I want to be careful with is this, you know, it's tough, this concept of them. Yeah. You know, we don't raise our credibility by saying corporate monsters. I own a corporation. It's not doing anything.
So do I.
I'm under the corporation. I think it's the greatest thing ever. I saw this film, The Corporation, and I created a computer learning tool, a mouse pad, back in the 96, mid-90s. And, you know, I didn't sell that many of them. However, if today, if somebody's baby bites off the corner of my mouse pad, you know, and they choke, and the baby dies, and for some reason they wind up saying, oh my God, you know, it was this guy, you know, Dinus, and I'm going to find him and I'm going to sue him, you know, because he's responsible for this company. He's responsible for this mouse pad, and my baby died. Now, if I didn't have the key point from this film, The Corporation, if I didn't have that structure, and if that person weren't responsible for you know what it did, then I would be sunk. And another thing is that somebody could totally frame me.
Well, the corporations are the people, aren't they? In many public cases, they're the people. And you've got a few elitists, let's say, at the top that really aren't given the due back to the people who created the corporation. You're not going to get anywhere without people. Money is meaningless. It's meaningless without people.
Well,
so,
who are these elitists?
Well, the elite, you always follow the money, you'll get there. Just follow the money and you'll get there.
Yeah, we'll probably also leave that in the hands of the listeners, and they're probably all over.
Yeah, sure.
But basically what that does is, when you say the elitists, what about people who say, well, you know, mainstream media, for goodness sake, you know, CNN, New York Times,
Fox, Wall Street Journal, ABC, NBC, CNN,
sure.
BBC. Yeah.
Sure, NPR, right? All the NPR you can drink. Read the New York Times. Look, watch CNN. They, you know, the moment you say elitist, you're a conspiracy theory wacko.
Sure. Well, you know, it's funny because the truth is the truth. And many people have tracked that truth, and we see it today. We can't, I mean, if you don't know the truth yet, folks, you better keep tuning into PBS Radio. That's just,
Well, how do you feel the truth? How do you discern the truth? What are you talking about? I mean, there's so much out there. You can, you watch Loose Change, your head starts spinning. Then there's debunking Loose Change. Then there's debunking the debunking. And, you know, people don't have enough time for this.
They do. In fact, today they have more, they're bombarded with more information mostly than they've ever been in previous times because you're more into the advanced technological age. You've got young kids learning computers. They're bombarded with data and video games. They have to take more data in.
Right.
So they're more accustomed to it. And you'll find that a lot of the disinfo and a lot of the debunking the debunkers and all of that, you know, our younger crowd has a much stronger grip on that. They can move information quicker. They're more apt to it because they're born into this kind of an age.
Mm-hmm.
So as we continue this march, you're going to find that really these younger kids are going to be a saving grace to this planet. And it's because they're more adept, and they're more suited to this type of a situation, and they can use it and that information in a myriad of ways that you know, when you and I were born or older folks were born, it would just stump them. That kind of data input would be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
it's like a computer that's getting smarter, growing up.
Yeah, well, I mean I think that's very reasonable, and I think that, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I hope the next generation, I guess I'll put it to you this way, though. I don't think we want to, we don't want to rest on the concept that the younger generation is, you know, smarter than we are, smarter than the older generation.
Well, it's not, what's smart? You know, knowledge is knowledge. They're being bombarded with a lot more information. Now, the discerning of that information is tough because there's so much of it. Again, they're more suited to it, but, you know, you and I and many others can filter through that information and we can become adept at it as well. Disinformation is really, you know, when it comes to mainstream media, and believe me, I'll harp on them for a long time. They've got a lot coming, and they ought to, you know, most of it is a monopoly, really. And when you have the few people controlling and manipulating your world economy, human events throughout the world, and creating bogus wars to fill their coffers, then you just have to go back to the money. You really do. Because the mentality always, I mean, throughout every major point of history that I've ever read, that is, it always come down to people, a few people, wishing to manipulate others and control others for their own pockets, because they believe in the temporary, let's call it gratification, and a lot of that, it's in the form of money, power, control, and it gets them off. And
now, the thing is, though, right now you're speaking for a group of people, and
it gets, look at the crypticness, look at the in-your-face secrecy. The reason I say in-your-face is because they constantly are telling you and telegraphing to you what they're going to do before they do it. And as you go up these lines,
what's an example of that?
Well, the murals on the Denver airport showing the Twin Towers burning down 6 months before it did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're always telegraphing through symbology, through the disinformation. They're telegraphing to you what they're doing because it gets them off. Has anyone watched Strange Days or whatever that was with that one fellow where this raper loved to put this gizmo on his head and then put another one on the female's head, and then he would rape her and kill her, and she could actually see him doing that through his eyes?
I didn't see
Okay,
that.
It was a pretty, pretty horrendously sicko movie. But it's same thing here. They want you to see yourself being raped. It's a mentality here. When you get that kind of a step, when you have a million times more than you need, That opulence, you don't even really see it anymore. It's an ownership thing. It's all an ownership thing. Control. It's force. It's power by force.
Well, I mean, let's say, because I mean, you're saying this, and a lot of people are hearing this, and then there's the trust factor. You know, why do I trust you? I mean, what about the people going, well, gee, you know, I got a job, I got a place to live. You know,
just leave me alone. I'm happy, right?
What are you talking about? I mean, why on earth, you know, what, you know, I mean.
Well, let's look at Austria or Germany or many of the countries where a lot of people thought the same thing. And throughout the various governments throughout the world, even in Russia before it, the Cold War ended and East Germany, many of the people thought, well, you know, I got a job. I'm living okay.
Right.
Things are good.
Times are good.
Times
what
are good.
They doing over, what are they
but
doing
again,
over
then,
in the 7th district?
Then
the
all of a
district?
Sudden a war is created in Iraq and depleted uranium is killing a million citizens and it's branching out everywhere and you've got more and more walls and you got your soldiers being inoculated, vaccinated, shot up with everything. People that aren't even deployed are getting sick and they're dying and they're like, hey, I'm a healthy guy. I'm 32. I was in the best shape of my life before this happened.
Well,
so,
I
eventually it'll come. What if the draft comes back? What about their kids? I mean, comfort, it's great to not take responsibility and to say, hey, you know, I'm happy. Things are good for me. Why should I listen to this lunatic?
Well, we're right back to taking responsibility for other people's actions. And there's something that I want to say because I keep forgetting
it's
that we're on air.
It's not taking responsibility for their actions. It's taking responsibility for our co-creative actions and then making the change as we feel throughout our heart or our thoughts. It's a co-creative collaborative effort. It's dynamic. It's yin and yang. We're here because, you know, ultimately I think not only did we help create it, but it was supposed to be out of joy.
Right.
And there were many that decided that, you know, they wanted to do it in a different way, and now we're learning what that means.
Right. Well, every once in a while, I'm forgetting that we're on the air, and I want to tell folks, if they haven't seen I've only watched a few of the video clips. It's a movie or a show, or I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's called The Rock for Sale. Have you seen that?
I haven't, no.
There are interviews, for example, there's an interview of a water, potable water expert, healthy water guy, an engineer, and he went and he tested the water out in, I think, 40 bases, American bases in Iraq. And there's an interview of this guy basically saying that in 38, that's what I remember. And if I happen to be right, I hope somebody looks me up and gives me a really big pat on the back, not a friendly pat on the back, because if I got these numbers right, I'm talking about something I watched maybe, I don't know, a year and a half ago. But the point is, he said that I think 38 out of 40 of those American bases, the water was toxic, was not potable, was not fit for human consumption. And he said he went out there to help, and he had tears in his eyes. It was awful. And I'm going to say something also, because I may not get a chance to say this. I have an acquaintance that I moved to Austria. I taught some English classes for a while.
Oh wow!
And one of the things that one of the students that I had is a Syrian doctor. And just so that people know, I'm also gonna maybe break some stereotypes. She's white. She looks white. Okay. She looks like Susan from next door. Maybe a little bit different. Maybe dark hair, but, you know, she's white. She's a Syrian doctor. And this woman, I mean, these people who have cancer, who are sick because of the depleted uranium that's being used by the American military.
Right.
They come to Vienna, where I live, to get treatment. And she sees them day in and day out.
Yeah, it's a travesty.
This woman, she is overwhelmed with grief. She cannot understand why the extent of the civilian casualties is just being accepted by the world community.
Most people don't know
it.
They don't know it. They don't tell you that there's a million civilian Iraqis dead.
Well, the statistics I know is 600,000.
Right, and, or 20,000, or 4,000 soldiers, or 1,000 soldiers. It's been, you know, the numbers, that's another disinfo game.
It is a disinfo game, and it's been a disinfo game as long as there's been war.
Exactly.
But it might be up to a million now, but the last conversation I had with this particular doctor, she was saying that at least according to the Middle Eastern media, she's looking at, you know, she was saying that it's
genocide.
Above a half million.
It's genocide. Did you know back in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, there were people that lived, and they were fairly close.
Yes, there's the miso soup situation and the diet that they use.
Right. You can actually go pick up some, I forget what they call it, shiwutsu or shiwutsu. And that'll help. There are various natural substances combined that can actually help eliminate that radiation from the body. But mm-hmm. this is a genocide. It's this depleted uranium and the inoculations that they give the soldiers and the way they treat them. You must know, folks, that it's genocide. They inoculate these soldiers. They're getting enough of them out there. They're trying to keep them exposed to all these chemicals, biological and chemical warfare, and the depleted uranium. And then guess what, folks? They bring them home. They bring them home. And then these inoculations, like let's say you have these the chicken pox that turns into, let's say you talk of, for example, you talk of one virus, you get an inoculation, it turns into the adult variety of that virus later on in the person's years. Now, when you combine that with a couple other inoculations, it then changes and it starts to move about. So you get a lot of toxicity throughout your civilization just because of that. It changes the way these viruses work. They start to spread. It's genocide. It's working with not only the chemtrail viruses, working with the depleted uranium viruses, working with the inoculations and the vaccines. It's really, and if we don't believe that, you just have to read what Clinton and various other people signed saying that they're allowed to do, and then go back and do a little discovery. You'll find that they're doing it, they've done it, and there are results because of it. It's verifiable, it's quantifiable, and it's facts.
Well, I'm very, very interested in legislation. I'm also interested in how people can access really the quickest, the fastest, the shortest information. And sometimes I think that legislation is the most concise way to find out what's possible and what's being done by the government, because you look at the legislation. Do you have a resource? Do you have like a link on your site or something where people can say, all right, look, this is the section of this law that...
Oh, absolutely. We don't have a section per se for that, but people can go to the Trusted News Trader, do searches. They're going to find so much information. I mean, I have a wild hair, folks, and I'll post anything of relevance. And we have other people that post a lot of factual data on there. And if they do a little research, a little finding, the Trusted News Traders are a great avenue. We provide some links on our website. We have a lot of shows that talk about that. If you're lazy, just sit back and listen to BBS Radio, and you can get a lot of the input and data there. If you want to do a little discovery on the Internet, that's always fun. But the information's out there in such a massive scale, massive, that if you're looking, you're going to find it. You seek, you will find.
What can you say, because I've got a number of scientists in my circle of friends and my family, what do you say to scientists who say, you know, contrails can I've got no problem believing that contrails can persist for several hours, and buildings that get hit by planes don't don't behave the way normal buildings do.
Right. Well, we just have to look at the facts on those two. Those facts are out there. From the 9/11, those facts are in. So many of them out there that you do a little bit of checking, you'll find all you ever wanted to know. As far
big
as chemtrails.
Tip. Yeah. 9/11, big tip, YouTube videos. I think the guy's name is William Rodriguez.
Yeah. There's so much
out. Do you
know
that guy?
You know, I've heard of that, yeah.
Last guy out, yeah. Had the master key, declared a national hero, met with Bush, and is now doing a lecture series around the world.
Sure. And Bush has a lot of family members in media, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, that's fine. But William Rodriguez, for folks that don't know of him.
William Rodriguez. Well, 9/11, the facts are out there. As far as chemtrails, if you look abroad, you'll find that even they were doing spraying in Greece quite heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the farmers, in particular one, went out. And he said, dang, vegetation's dying, my crops are dying, the animals are dying. What the hell's going on? It's every time after these planes are flying over. And why would they fly over mine? I'm not even on the flight path.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they started doing crisscross patterns over the field, he went out, he collected, he had it personally analyzed, sent it down, and had it analyzed again. And the facts just kept coming back that they were poisoning the land, poisoning it with things that are never found in contrails. And there's quite a bit of information about that. Just look up chemtrails, Greece, go to Google, you'll probably find it. But this is a worldwide event. This is, again, global genocide. You can call it anything you want. But it's raping you while with your eyes wide open, and it's global, and it's genocide.
Now,
and it's even gender-engineered with these new viruses.
If it's genocide, well, does it have anything to do with race?
Yes. In fact,
really?
Many
so
cases,
what if I'm,
it's
what
divide
if I'm,
and conquer.
What if I'm a white Anglo-Saxon, I'm a Caucasian?
I mean, well, again, it's now with biochemical warfare, it is gender. It is gender weaponized. They can gender weaponize many viruses.
That means that it will affect only women?
And they can target women. They can target a very species of people, whether you be East Indian, Caucasian, African American.
Right.
I think
I don't know if this contributes to other people's understanding of the situation, but for me, if I were an elitist and I were in power, I'll tell you right now, I would not care one bit about race.
It's divide and conquer.
It would be so unimportant to me. Racism, I would use racism as a ploy.
All right, if you're going
to
go into
anger and dissonance and discord, and I would allow people to argue, and hey, if an additional war got started and I didn't even have to do anything, cool.
Well, you got to remember, let's take a look at South Africa. I know people have worked there in very high-level capacities. They got inoculated so many times. I know this one individual who heads up a lot of the building for a lot of the major industries out there, and beautiful discussions on what's going on. He knows what's going on. He's said it to me flat out. It is genocidal, and it is targeted to a specific group of people that are out there. And this is really to eradicate these people, because the genes are there. They can specifically target the peoples there, and they can then control the land, the resources. And
right.
Then, of course, it's similar with other countries.
Now,
but
if I want to control the land, it makes sense. If I just want to kill a particular race,
it's all a resource. See, they don't see the difference. See, they're targeting.
They're kind of like autistic. They see humans as objects.
Right, and if it suits their needs to wipe out this race and then blame it on this race or put one against the other and not celebrate the uniqueness, but it's these religious nuts against us, it's the good book.
Where can I get a? I mean, I actually kind of know the answer to this, but where can I get a definition of them? Because when you start talking about them again, you're a conspiracy theorist.
All right.
Wacko.
Sure. Go to the TNT board. Click on the top links on the TNT board, and you'll get your belly full of them. Okay.
Who them is?
Who them is?
Okay. All right.
Right at the top. Click on a bunch of those links. They're right at the top of the Trusted News Trader. You'll get your belly full of who them are.
Trusted and, News Trader.
Yeah, it's right on bbsradio.com.
You know, there's something that I saw a link on your
You can go down to the bottom of the page, and you can click on those links. At the very bottom of the index page, we actually are now going to start building our own worldwide reporting system. And we've got enough reporters, and we're gaining more all the time. We're going to build a Rents.com-style format on PBS Radio.
You know what? I think I have a kind of an idea. I might want to just walk around the city of Vienna, Austria, and just ask people if they think the United States is a democracy and see what they say.
Well, what the word democracy, the word capitalism, communism, I mean, Marxism, who cares? Do they care? I mean, it's just another divide and conquer. It's a manipulation tool. They play the word game very well.
You're allowed, and you are living a free life. Why? Why aren't you dead?
Well, I'll tell you, if you've got a secret, tell the world. You know, the nice thing about people will die with their secrets, but
secrets will always die, and that's why I really respect a lot of people who are coming. I as a matter of fact, I have a song we'll see when I can come out with it, but it's called "Share Your Secret."
Share it fast.
Share it now. That's the chorus. Share your secret. Share it now.
Because then, once secrets get out there, they're not going to make you a martyr or try to put more weight to that secret. What they're going to do is throw the disinfo campaign at it.
Well, why not just cook your heart with some kind of a resonance weapon slowly, and you'll have a heart attack at, I don't know, sometime.
Well,
why shouldn't you just, some kind of a legitimate death? That's pretty easy to orchestrate, isn't it?
Being alive means to me what it's always meant, and that is taking action. Taking action. You know, a lot of people, you know, they think thought is all there is, and then they can just sit back, pray, and meditate, and sit there, and everything else is going to look after them. To me, hey, it might work for them, but to me, they would have been born heads on a table. We could all look at each other and thought all life for the rest of our lives. But we weren't built that way. And the reason we weren't is because it's an action-oriented energy system we're in. A 3D or whatever you want to call it. The plane of demonstration, the other side of the veil, I mean, whatever. But it's an action-oriented system. And that's just by being obvious to what is. And so if it is an action-oriented system, what compels your heart? What compels your mind? What compels your soul? Why are you here? I mean, I asked myself this for so many years. It was always the same two questions. And I'm thankful to George Anderson, who wrote the book, who wrote so many wonderful books. But it goes something like this. I am love. Mm-hmm. Therefore, what would love do now? Now, the reason I say love is because love, to me, has a flavor of responsibility. It's an action-oriented flavor. Love. So, to me, taking that action and following that heart or following that desire and doing it the best you can, that, to me, would be why you would be here.
Well, you know, that reminds me of my father teaching me who and what God is. And I'll tell this story because it's very, very personal, very close. But I don't know how old I was. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict was going on. I may have been 8, may have been 12, I don't know. And there was a picture I think it was in Time magazine. Now, I don't know, maybe that's controlled by them, but there was a picture. And I can't remember whose tank it was. It might have been the Israeli tank, and there was an injured Palestinian soldier on the ground. Might have been the other way around, but I think it was an Israeli tank. And there's this injured soldier on the ground, gun basically next to him. Can't reach it, but maybe he even had it in his hand. I can't remember, but he was dying. He was bleeding. And the guy was about to run over the soldier and just crush him with a tank. And in the picture, you could tell this guy, he had gotten out of his tank, and he reached his hand out to the enemy soldier and was going to help him up. And my dad said, if you ever, you know, if you ever don't know what God is, that's God.
That's God.
And I didn't understand. I said, what do you
love
mean?
It.
He said, this guy is, you know, on one side of the battle. And this guy down there, he's the enemy of him. They're enemies. You see that? And I didn't, because I didn't realize that there was different uniforms. I didn't understand any of that. And then I knew they were enemies. And he said, they're supposed to kill each other. And that man, he couldn't just run over this guy with his tank. And he got out of the tank, and now he's helping him up. Maybe he's going to go, you know, push him, pull him over to the side of the road or get him.
I love that story. You know, it comes down to allowing. You know, we always say them, they have the power. Ultimately, folks, them don't have the power. We all have the power by what we allow. So when the metaphysicists and the gurus tell you it's about what you allow, eventually, or accurately speaking, it is what you allow. It's the power that you give up to allow. Now, if you give up your power to your government, or you allow the atrocities and the genocide to continue, and you don't take action, and enough people don't, then by collaborative, co-creative effort, we've allowed. It's our responsibility. See, so it does come back to we do create our own environment, our own world, our own matrix, but it extends out to what others do and what we allow. We allowed it by choice. In every choice, in every moment of now, we allow it. Now that means we must, since we've allowed it, we must take risk. We don't, forget must. I believe we should take responsibility for it.
So, what would you say right now to any soldier on the ground right now, any nationality, any race?
Sure.
What do you say to the soldiers?
We love you. We know that you believe that you're doing the right thing and protecting our country and the people, but it's time to remove that. You know, see, that's so tough, and so many of our political leaders are having to deal with that issue, and so many people, because now that you're in the quagmire, you can't go saying, oh, gee, you know, what you're doing is just atrocious, and you shouldn't be there, and get the hell out, and you're bad and evil, and you're just contributing to this, and so on. A lot of it's done out of ignorance. Mm-hmm. It's ignorance because they don't know any better. I mean, famous words in the Bible, which I don't put much stock in. Unfortunately. Well, fortunately.
Well, a lot of good things.
Yeah, you know, there's a few good things. It's an okay history book. Not really even a good history book. And a lot of them. Because when you put a book, a bunch of words typed by a bunch of men, and you try to ostracize various civilizations and various people because of those words, and you're divisive and a separatist because of it, I don't see how that can be any good. But needless to say, a soldier, you know, they really believe what they're doing. It's the intent behind their actions. It's never, the end result to me isn't the key, because there's never really a final result. So how could the end justify the means? That's such an old way of thinking. I can't even quite get a grip on it, because there is no end result ultimately. So it's always what you're doing now, the journey, the desire, the intent. And that's what you need to focus on right here, right now.
Well, from my end, if I can talk to a soldier, I wrote a song called Another Way. I mean, I
like the title.
Yeah. and it's basically a message to soldiers from soldiers that have passed. But I actually, we could maybe discuss that another time, or I could send you a file, or however we do that. But for me right now, I'm moved to tell a soldier, if you can take responsibility for, looking somebody in the eyes and killing them, then go ahead and kill. I mean, seriously, if you take that responsibility, and your intentions are most likely pure, and in some way, sense, or form, you are probably forgiven for every action you take. But when
you forgive yourself, you will.
But when and if you can't, the same way that I told the story about the guy who couldn't drive over that injured soldier, when you can't, you can make the choice. You can choose not to. You can choose to not win or lose, to not be in the black and white duality, or enemy and savior, or however, or victor. You can choose and let your gut be your guide. And I have no idea what kind of, if it's mind control, is it messages? I have not done military service. I am, I cannot even, well, I can't imagine, but I can't really get a grip on the kind of experience that the soldiers have had and what they've internalized and how then a soldier makes a decision. But I have to believe that when the soldier, the loyal, loyal, loyal soul, which is just a fantastic spirit because it's a spirit of serving.
That's correct.
And that is the most fantastic energy. And then the question is, if you're serving and you're killing, who are you serving?
Ah, I love that.
Do you want to be serving that energy?
Exactly. Right. You're right. I like the way you put that. Thank you.
Well, sometimes, who knows? I don't know how long I'm a young guy. I'm in pretty darn good shape, but you never know how long you're going to be here. So you may as well say things. I think we should wrap up pretty soon. One kind of thing that, a lot of the stuff on BBS radio and these kinds of radio stations, it's kind of way too spacey and cheesy for particular people. There's information on other dimensions, contact with angels, channeling. It's too far out there for a lot of people.
Fluffy, yeah.
What do you say to them? I mean, look, I also got to say, I think that David Icke has been. He's been on a number of shows.
He's been on our network. He's done a couple interviews. He's going to do several more, I'm sure. We have a couple scheduled.
I've seen a few of the things that he's done. I'll tell you, though, this guy's talking about lizards controlling our planet. He's talking about people shape-shifting. And I'll tell you, that is something else.
Yeah.
And if you're an accountant or you're a blue collar or white collar worker,
if you're the money behind the manipulation, throw out a little foof and it'll turn people off. And that's what's occurred. Again, a lot of people have gone into the far side. On the far side, and
Larson.
Well, you know, I mean, once they get...
What a genius.
Yes.
Once I think you retired.
Yeah.
Come out of retirement, Gary. We need you.
Well, we need you. Once you get there, though, it tends to propel the agenda, the propaganda, the misinformation of, I think, those people that want to manipulate and control. So a lot of that is by design. It's unfortunate. Many people carry it on as fact, and then they try to build the information around to prove their own facts. To me, tough one. If some of these guys are aliens, come on, really. If they're aliens and they're shapeshifters, then they're pretty dumb aliens. And because
why are they dumb?
Well, they should have seen a lot of this coming. To me, their end is so close, and the world is such in an uproar. Not so much here in the States. You won't see it so much here because the media won't show it to you.
Right.
But abroad, people are wide awake. And if they were really that smart, they would have seen it coming. But they didn't. So, maybe they were just dumb aliens.
Maybe there are dumb aliens.
To be honest with you, if they had the technology to come here and to manipulate and control as fast as they have, then they're probably pretty sharp. But what they're doing right now is pretty...
No, this is one of the unraveling points of a lot of these theories, because there's got to be this tremendous intelligence, and at the same time, there has to be an absurd stupidity, which then again, if we look at ourselves,
we're all the above.
People do dumb things.
Yeah, we're all the above too. That's true. Well, you know, when I think there are many, many different aliens that are walking among us. I think mm-hmm. they're here. They've been here a long time. They communicate.
How come we can't tell them apart from us?
Many of them will be walking down the street, and they'll be looking just like you.
Why?
Well, incognito. Incognito.
Is it a space suit?
I would think it's a manipulation of the atomic structures and the energies around you to create an appearance.
Around me or around them?
Around them.
So they have sort of this energy little box, or they're psychically able to make themselves look like us.
Well, it could be either psychically enabled, it could be with their mental capacities, or it could be electronically or scientifically enabled by them.
Look,
we're getting there. Our science is showing that we can do quite almost similar things now with the newest technologies that are out.
So I could kind of walk around as a female, for example, and that would just be electronically manipulated.
Well, you can walk around, yes, as a different object, or you can become invisible.
You can walk around
they
as
can,
a garbage
right,
can.
They can bend the light around you now, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they can create various type of holographic images in and around you. Sure, that's a science that's probably been out for years. It's just now people are starting to talk about it, and they're starting to bring a little more of the...
There was an invisibility jacket on sale on eBay
That's went so far beyond that. That's ridiculous. Mounted on the
what?
The jackets with the little minute cameras at the various angles all around the
clothing. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, right. Yeah, and then you can see through the person.
Yeah, there's technologies out now that can literally, you could see it and you can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you saw it, you wouldn't see it.
Well, if anybody out there is in touch with these, has these technologies, could you start doing some funny things with it? And another thing is,
the government's planning on it, supposedly.
Funny. Not evil and killing lots of people. I'm talking about, making garbage cans dance around in the Chicagoland area or something.
You know, if they had a sense of humor, they probably would. But I think that, many of this is, their sense of humor's are gone. Because they take life way too seriously. I mean, in fact, imagine this. They're so wrapped up.
I'm not comfortable when you were speaking for them. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not comfortable at all. I don't know about you speaking for them.
Well, to be honest with you, I moved in odd circles when I was younger. And those circles I don't move in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm familiar with them. I'm familiar with the lodges. I'm familiar with a lot of the people that have worked and engaged in secret societies. Familiar on a personal level.
I see.
And
so you know them.
Well, I know people who have worked with them.
Okay.
I know many people that have worked with them in the past. It, to me, it's, I guess, a frame of mind, maybe. It's all a frame of mind.
What's going to happen? I understand. And what's going to happen if, you know, this guy, there's a number of electric vehicles people that that I'm now corresponding with. One guy wants to, he wants to move, he wants to do some things in electric vehicles. I mean, what happens? I mean, when you do something that's quote unquote out of line, I mean, seriously, do people knock on your door wearing dark sunglasses? I mean, do men in black come and say, "You better stop this. If you don't, you're gonna die," or
"Well, they
do something to your kids"?
Sure, they really do. Every few months we hear somebody
who's been.
Where's the
recording? I'm telling you, I don't mean to interrupt. I mean, actually, fine. I do mean to interrupt, but where's the recording? Where's the video of these men in black coming and saying, "Hey, I'm gonna kill your kids"? Where's that particular video?
Don't know. But
where's the guy who recorded all of his conversations because he knew he was, you know, going to release something non-patented that was a free energy something something? Or
I could actually tell you, but then I'd have to shoot you. No, really, there are
garbage.
There are, well, I know of underground facilities that are operating now, building various technologies, and these facilities have brought in scientists from abroad, and they are developing various sciences based on proven prototypes. As far as do they harass you, you bet they do. They harass us all the time.
At BBS Radio.
You bet we've had.
What kind of harassment? And another thing is, what kind of mind control things are possible?
Well, when they're flying up with the, I mean, when we're not on a path and they're flying up with black helicopters up to your place and then turning around and they do that several times and you get phone call. When you phone me up and then somebody tries to phone you up and they end up phoning me and they go, "Well, I was looking for,
Dinus,
excuse me, I apologize. It's a hard one to remember. I was looking for Dinus, but they're getting me," and I'm saying, "But I just talked to him." And that happens consistently. We've had every few months we hear about somebody who's murdered, who's been on our network, whether they be a scientist, a pathologist, or somebody in some technology-oriented or science-oriented situation. Yeah, we hear this. It's not uncommon. That's what bothers me.
So you're really saying these people are getting murdered? Like, basically,
really saying people are getting murdered. They're getting killed. They're getting put away. They're dying with their secrets in many cases.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, you know, the whole trust factor, I mean, I don't know of anything like this. You know, I know of a, I met somebody who claimed to have been shot at by the military because he developed some kind of a water technology.
We have a personal relationship with that. I won't go into too much of it, but we've had similar things happen to our family abroad with the CIA and various government machinations, and it has happened to family members personally. So, I mean,
there's something. I'm sorry. I'm gonna let you finish. Sorry.
No. It's real. It's the real deal.
Okay. Well, there's something I want to then say, and I want to say it to sort of behind the scenes enemy. You know, people have a very. This is directly directed to them. People have a very hard time following orders from a smokescreen, fictitious, quote-unquote, boss. If you are them and you want to control people, why don't you just give them jobs, give them medical care, they'll work for you, you know, do stuff, fly around in planes, you know, go on TV and say we're experimenting with this and that and, you know, whatever. But what exactly is the motivation behind the lack of clarity? Because if you're, you know, a multi-billionaire out in the stratosphere, or maybe even you're, you know, 1,000 years older, who know, all these kinds of things that you read. You're smarter, you got more money, or whatever, you know. But if you want to be a supervisor, you know, if you want to be somebody who essentially is in charge, you can't choose control. It's kind of like the difference between making love to your wife, who has chosen to marry you and have and make love to you, okay? And it's fantastic because both parties are choosing and are willing and engaged, and it's magnificent. And the difference between that and rape, because the moment you are coercing, the moment you are forcing, you're raping, and if you're quote-unquote getting off on that, I gotta tell you, from the other side of the coin, I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but man, complicit sex is way, I mean, it's fantastic. Cooperation, I mean, building a house together with friends, sitting around a campfire telling stories, that kind of stuff, you know, you're missing it. Because if you're concentrating on forcing other people to do things because you want them to fit into some kind of a structure of yours, you're not anywhere close to the benefits of what synergy provides. Read Stephen Covey. Read a few of these things that are out there. You know, I can't, you know, maybe you're locked in your situation. You know, maybe there's no way out, but again, you're a soldier, and you can choose. You can choose to knock on that door. You can choose to murder the person. Maybe you're, I don't know, maybe you're a robot if you're murdering these people. I mean, what can you possibly be thinking, murdering some innocent scientist who's developed, who knows, some kind of a water technology or some kind of a clean air or something, or who knows what?
Yeah, it's unfathomable, really. I can't get my mind around it myself. It's such a lack of conscience.
Because we can't get our minds around it, it's a lot easier to think that it's just BS.
And that it's not being done. That's right, because many of us have a hard time even understanding that kind of, I don't even know what it is. Again, I it's so hard for me to get my mind around that kind of a mentality. I mean, I guess in some ways I understand it. I just don't want to anymore.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't get it, and I don't have a. I kind of want to think that, and I said what I want to think is that chemtrails are an attempt to control the weather in a global warming environment. You know, viruses that are coming down are viruses that are existent up in the upper stratosphere anyway. And, you know, maybe there are some people that are doing the best they can. They don't want to
click. Well, you can click on Go the Trusted News Trader at the bottom of our index page and click on Dark Skies or something like that. You'll get all the data you could possibly want.
What if, I mean, there's so much doom and gloom, and even a lot of the, you know, a lot of the broadcasts are like, this is what they're doing to you, this is what they're going to do to you, blah, blah, blah. You even said that, and you know what? That's their message then.
They're correct.
Doing this, they're going to do it to you, here it is, and it's going to happen, you can't do
anything. They're doing it, they're doing it. That's the facts. The thing is, again, how much are you going to allow? That's what it'll come down to.
Well, I mean, from the thing is that in my reality, yeah, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I started a website called Robust Green Lifestyle of Harmonious Joy, Abundance, Health, Wealth, Wisdom, and Nurturing Sustainability.
I love it.
I put in all the words, and you can pronounce it. You know, it's sort of Arglojawans, and it sort of like sounds like a I don't know, group of people or something, right, with the N's in the end. And I know nurturing sustainability, I kind of wrestled with that for a while because the ing form, whatever, but
sure.
But the point is that that's my world, and I'm going to go ahead and go public. I'm not allowing anybody to kill me or touch anybody in my family. I'm saying that on the air. I don't allow anybody to do any of that. And another thing is that I see these chemtrails and some, I see the spraying, And or is it, I see what I perceive to be chemtrail spraying, or what I've now assumed is chemtrail spraying, and I also see, you know, geometrically shaped clouds, which completely blow my mind. They're right angles all around. The whole sky is filled with right angles. And I talk to people about this, and they're like, I don't know. I don't really believe it. I'm like, why do clouds have 90-degree angles?
They have gotten so sophisticated now that they'll weaponize a virus, and it has to go through stages, and then they spread a different virus with a different form on a different part of the globe, and it weaponizes itself, and they come together to create very destructive viruses. These things have been put out in labs where they test this. They test it over an accelerated rate, and they say, okay, if we weaponize this, and we do this, and over here, and they have this collage of an environment in the middle, and then they take these other viruses, and then they create new ones, and they find out how they're going to mix and what they're going to do. It's become such a science.
What's the benefit in killing a bunch of people? And another thing is there's an Austrian...
Because they're afraid of you, man.
They think that the fewer people there are, the easier they are to control.
Bang, you got it. We've got...
That's so stupid.
Exactly. The mentality is bizarre. But the truth is they're afraid of you. They're afraid of you. They're afraid of the truth. And the bottom line is there's too many of you singing too many songs. And they don't want the truth out there. It's become uncontrollable. It's their own virus.
It's interesting because it literally just...
Why would the media brainwash you and constantly brainwash you, mainstream media, if it wasn't the truth that they were afraid of? If they weren't afraid of you?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. But, if I'm talking to somebody who's working in mainstream media, how can you read those scripts? I mean, I live in Austria. We do stuff online. We'll look at media reports. There hasn't been a single change in the news.
They actually believe it. See, many of these media people, they actually believe that in the end, there needs to be control mechanism. Somebody's got to look after everybody or everything's going to go into chaos. That's how a lot of these bent bankers ultimately assuage their egos or their guilt or whatever.
Isn't it true?
Yeah, well, no.
I mean, I don't...
I don't believe it's true at all.
They find murderers because of that mentality.
Well,
are police because of that mentality.
And then they're murdering people with the double standard, right?
Well, unfortunately,
you go out and kill somebody, then we're going to kill you. That to me is what, again, it comes down to that mentality. Okay. It's what's acceptable. What will you allow?
Well, the thing is that, again, taking that to the logical extreme, we don't want anarchy. We want speed.
But who says it's going to be anarchy? They can't be promoting if we don't have control. If we don't have control, somebody doesn't. We don't give somebody control. Somebody, anybody. Who? No, we don't like these people. But somebody's got to be in control. Well, would it do better than what they're doing now if nobody was in control?
So basically,
we haven't even given it a chance.
So what you're saying is, well, hey, some state.
Why not? Look, you have control. No, hold on. Let's forget the ultimate control. See, maybe I got to reword this. Why should one body control everything? Why not bring it down to local control? Celebrating uniqueness of the many again. This city has a governance over this area, and you can move there if you like, or go to this city or this state, or this family has its governance over this family. Do you see what I mean? Bring it back to the people. They will decide what they can accept and allow. But don't take that choice away from them and you decide what's acceptable and allowed. That, to me, held in the hands of the few, is corruptible. And we've seen it in every empire that's come and gone. Remember, folks, gone, because this will go too.
Yes, it will go. I also think that, you know, if corporations and if businesses are operating on non-sustainable practices, you know, there's a lot of information out there. You guys can double, triple, quadruple your profits by going nurturing, by going sustainable.
But see, they're now of the mentality that there's too many of you out there. See, the few are so scared. Really, truly. Remember, fear is the other side of the coin.
Well, that's the take. That for me, I just turn around and if the news story, if I smell, if I sense, if there's any fear, if I'm being told to fear, you know who you're working for.
Right. I love you. Right on. That truer words were never said in my heart. Thank you. If you smell fear, if you taste fear, if you hear it, see it, or touch it. You know,
or
there might be a flip side to that coin. Exactly.
But see, then what happens when we're afraid and there's an, you know, and what happens when I'm if I'm afraid and somebody's chasing me down? My fight or flight syndrome or whatever this fight or flight response better kick in because I better run.
Well, yeah, there's the survival instincts of flight or fright. They've done you well. They've done many of us well, but it shouldn't control our
religion.
Above board actions are intellectual, heartfelt, soulfelt actions. Those flight or fright are really instincts.
Right.
Okay. And we don't need to live on our instinct of our balls or of the mentality of going out there and kidnapping and raping children, being pedophiles, which
I have heard of these kinds of things.
It's going on so vastly that it is an internal joke by many departments in the government. Why it's an internal joke, I don't know. But I must tell you, it is vast. It's been in your White House. It's been in your White House numerous times that you haven't even heard of.
Now, I need this to believe that. I want video. I want footage. I want proof. And I'm telling you, if somebody's sitting there with proof, you better put that out there, and you better not sit on that, because, frankly, right now, Don, I don't believe you.
You only have to go to the last three presidents and do a little research on the White House and bringing in young boys and bringing them in.
Not words on a page. I mean, telling you, I need.
Well, no, let's look at the what was his name?
That reporter guy.
Right, well, he wasn't even a reporter. Come on.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I forget his name too. But when it comes right down to how they operate in the White House and the things that they do behind closed doors, it's about as sick as it gets. I mean, look at Bush. He's just a living example saying, okay, I'm a teetotaler, and I don't do drugs. I don't do any of that. But yet he'll get drunk at the G8 summit and slammed. And yet he'll keep trying to propel the lie because he's of the opinion that if it could be the truth, it needs to be the truth, and by God, it is the truth. And if I keep telling it long enough, eventually, everyone will believe me. It's pretty odd, because that mentality then works in their own life. Well, if I just take this little boy's clothes off and do it, I'm going to get a lot of pleasure out of it, and eventually, I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing the right thing. It's prevalent everywhere. These kids got to grow up hard these days. I mean, they can literally, the ends justifies the means. Again,
well,
I keep coming back to that thought.
I don't understand that. And I mean, I guess I can see how.
Have you heard about the boats that they found going towards Israel? Freightliners with young women and young kids, four and up, being slaves, being chained up there, and then being moved to the Israeli slave trades. You heard those?
Okay, do a little checking into that.
Those are interesting. Do a little checking into the missing children and what many, many people are starting to talk about the missing children that go off our streets every day.
Well, the thing is that...
And where they end up.
I'll tell you right now.
And remember, if you're...
I can script all that. I can lay seeds of evidence. I can create a disinformation campaign. I could do that.
Well,
somebody, if there is such a thing,
you can look, you can
implants,
check.
Sorry.
Well, as far as the children, that's just a fact. I don't want to say that I'm putting disinformation out there because these are facts. We are absconding with young women and young child. It's a major trade, just like the major drug trades and area and many other illicit trades. And they are doing it, and the money at the top is controlling it.
Well, I got to check into it,
It's a horrific one to check into. It'll make you cry for weeks.
Well, I mean, the thing is that it's tough. It's tough to, when you're basing your understanding of what's happening, quote unquote, in reality, and you have to quote unquote trust somebody, but there's something, there is something about truth. It's got a zing to it, and people are particularly passionate about it, and I don't know what level it is, and I don't know how people wind up making the decision, and I don't know how it winds up transferring from consciousness to consciousness, or into a video, or into a website, or a book. But
look at what they're doing to your kids, okay?
What?
Right in school, before you even go to school, they can now do mental, oral, and physical exams on your child. They can do it. Recommend, teachers can recommend Ritalin and various other drugs. And in fact, they can actually recommend and put the kid on it. Now, kids have to be inoculated or vaccinated before, and many of them, and it's Hep B. And then it goes from Hep B to, of course, they get that, they nail your kid with that as soon as before it leaves the hospital. Okay.
Not mine.
Well, in most instances, when a kid's born, bam, they get the shot. Right there in the first few months, they'll have the shot. I think the first 2 months they have a shot. Then it goes, I forget what the chart is.
We've got the booklet, but
right,
actually
but,
it's
well,
not.
How can they do that knowing the health hazards and the risks and what we know today?
They're just convinced that it's actually...
No, they're not.
They actually think it's good.
Well, the teachers may. The people that are doing it, the people that are down the row as it keeps falling down the order line, the hierarchy, it gets to be so ambiguous. And yes, they're brainwashed into believing that it's doing some good. And really, the people at the top, they could do anything at that point, bring it on down the hierarchy, and then these people are going to believe, well, it's good. Because it came down from the top. But when these people at the top have their own designs in mind, and we look around today and we see what those designs are creating, you can pretty much bet that following orders blindly, doing things blindly, especially when it deals with the body and your children, and when it's mandatory and forced on them, and the parent no longer has a say, wow.
No force. Force is what.
And if you don't think they're capable of sodomizing and raping your children, they're raping them just by that very act.
Yeah.
And the parent to boot, the rest of society.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, there's a very large group. There's a very large community in Austria of people who are not immunizing their children, and it's not the law here.
Well, I had our kids done right in the hospital. They were all nailed right at the hospital when they were born. And it took me a while to figure out what was going on, but I thought, how could I even have possibly avoided that, considering how fast it was done in the infant stage?
Well, so my wife went to a checkup. And the doctor almost did it.
Oh, yeah. And look at Tamiflu.
I'm an immunizer. Here you go.
Look at Tamiflu. I mean, who was Cheney and what was it? Joe Lieberman and a few others that were involved in I believe it was Joe Liebman and Cheney, but there were various people that are making your decisions that were involved in the Tamiflu and then the bird flu scare, and then the Tamiflu went out. And it was funny. I was trying to buy this Tamiflu, and I was trying to buy it for 4 months. It was totally out. Every internet website, everywhere you tried to get it, was gone. Now, they made such a fear, and guess who pocketed the money? And then 12 kids died in China because of this Tamiflu. And then other children were starting to die of this Tamiflu.
Well, they tried to sell the whatever the inoculation, the vaccine, or the whatever it was.
Sure.
They tried to sell it to pet owners here.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's gotten so ridiculous that it's hard now to even put it into a context. Anyways, well, I think we probably should wrap it up. We've done about 2 hours here, and these phones have been going off a little bit.
Yeah, wrap it up. It's been fun. I'm glad this is recorded.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we went live. Well, and you know, I basically decided to say, hey, you know what? We're going to have a conversation here.
Thank you. I truly, truly enjoyed it. Absolutely.
I enjoyed it as well.
Well, Dinus, I must say, I mean, again, it was an absolute pleasure. I love the way you led the interview, and we'll have it. It's fully recorded, and we'll have it up on the spotlight here. We could put it up sometime today.
Well, that's fantastic. Folks, remember, Arglo Jowans, it stands for Robust Green Lifestyle of Harmonious Joy, Abundance, Health, Wealth, Wisdom, and Nurturing Sustainability. In the next few weeks, I'm going to put that up at arglojowans.com. It's going to have the resources that, it's basically, the theme is, what can you do now? How can you decide now? And maybe actually, if you still have something, Don, to say about this, you could respond. If not, we'll just leave it at that. But the idea is, what can you do now? How can you convert your car to electric? How can you heal your indoor air with plants? What can you do if you don't want to immunize your children? What can you do if you don't want to vaccinate your children? What's going on with this chemtrail nonsense? And you know, is this real? Is it not real? Can you take something? How can you strengthen yourself? Are there free medical alternatives for you? How can you grow your own food? Just literally, what can you do now?
Love it. In fact, I'd like you to send me the information on that website.
Yeah.
And email it to donald@bbsradio.com, and we'll put it up. We'll post a link to it. Absolutely.
Will do. I'm still working on all the information. I also want to do my absolute best to make it concise, because I know we're in an information overload. Everybody's loaded with information, and I want to get, basically, the idea is to have experts, world experts, put things into the most concise terms possible. You get one to maybe three pages, ideally one page. This is a recommendation. Here you go.
No, I love that idea. That to me is right up my alley. And hopefully it's right up our audience's alley, too, because what can you do now? You can do everything or anything. Follow your heart and stay tuned to BBS Radio.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Thank you. Dinus, it was a pleasure, and thank you. You've been calling from Austria, so it's quite a time difference there. I thank you for that time.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed every second of it, every minute of it.
Thank you. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.